Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey, Saints and Ains, how art thou?
What up with y'all?
How are you today, Preston Perry?
I'm chilling.
What does that mean?
That means I'm like really relaxed, you know what I'm saying? Just in chill mode.
You want to ask me a question to open us up, or you want me to figure out something random to say?
Do you know that you like really, really, really pretty?
Wow.
Like really pretty.
Wow.
Like I look at
your
eyes.
I thought it would be more interesting than that.
And I get like a little tingle down my spine.
I don't know how to feel about tingles.
I mean,
that sounds like paralysis.
What?
It just sounds like, you know, Superman, the first one.
Yeah, you're pretty. You got your little edges, shiny and stuff. You know what I'm saying? A little makeup, beat, face beat. You're pretty.
All right. So with us today, we have Caress. What's your real last name?
I knew you were going to say that.
What is it?
Well, my, that's a whole...
That's too personal.
No. Well, I ain't asked my dad how he feel about it, but I go by Caress Dion. Dion is my middle name.
Okay.
I mean, do we really know where our last names come from?
Oh. Just say X.
I was going X. through a Caress X phase, but I was like, no, I like Caress Dion.
Or Muhammad. That's the two that people pick, Muhammad or X.
Caress X.
That's what I should have done.
Nah, I mean, I like it.
I like Caress Dion. So I was like, my uncle gave me that. Uh-huh. He chose that for
me. Yeah. You know where that came from.
Say what now?
You know where that came from.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I was like, nah. You know something else I don't know?
Nah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see Caress, she's dressed real Scottish.
She's always been one of the swaggiest people that I know.
Yeah, so you own, before we get to the spiritual stuff, you own...
Well, nah, that's going to be spiritual too.
Okay, you own a vintage t-shirt situation.
I have a online vintage shop.
There we go.
There's t-shirts, there's skirts, there's
jeans. Oh, you basically said you own more than just
It's t-shirts. Not just t-shirts for me, because okay. I don't just wear t-shirts. Oh, I think we need clothes
you're right.
for every occasion.
We need quilts and things.
I do also like quilts. Turning one into a pair of pants pretty soon. Stay tuned.
What? Okay,
what
so this is why Caress is here, okay? Is that, how do I
you got
I,
your arms folded.
How do I? It's so many things on my mind. Okay. So I think we met a while ago.
Years ago.
Oh, we met at, Reach Ooh. Conference. Remember Reach Records had a conference? And you was helping with Natalie and all that?
And I was supposed to be...
I don't
speaking
know.
The next day. That's actually part of what you can tell. You going there today? No.
So I've known Caress for a minute. And then when I moved to Atlanta, Caress helped me manage my bookings. And so like we had some history. Then there was this situation where Caress kind of, was processing her faith in a very unique way.
That's such a nice way of putting it.
And then she was like, faith? What's that? And so in the meantime, while she was like, faith, what's that? She kind of like put up a post where she was like coming for me in Preston. And so I was like, oh.
By coming mean like, yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Coming for our heads.
And Woo! So she had blocked me.
Dang.
And so, no, I have to give context.
I didn't even.
You don't remember blocking me.
That's what we got to talk about. Why don't I remember it? When you out of your mind, you out of your mind. You had a lot to forgive me for. No wonder you took so long to respond to that. It's all coming
so
back.
So she blocked me. So we, because I had texted
you. Blocked me too.
And I said.
Yeah, you just got the.
I said, I see you're processing through a lot. Like, I'd love to just sit down and hear your heart. Like, I don't got to challenge you.
You texted me that, but I didn't get it.
I think you got it. You didn't respond.
It was blue when it went through?
I don't know.
It was blue when it went through?
Anywho, and so the fact that she's sitting here is because...
This is the grace that you even let me see.
She had texted me sometime this summer, and I just saw the top of the text. I'm like, I'm not dealing with that. Because I felt away, right? And so then I had a conversation with KB. KB was like, you know, Caress came back to the faith. I said, Caress.
Yeah, we was in Tampa with KB, and he was like, Jackie was like, Caress? Oh, I guess I got to read her text now.
That's a good point. So I read the text. Thank you, God.
Caress was apologizing, saying that she wasn't in her right mind and that Jesus done did the work. And we sat down for coffee, and I was like, so tell me about the last 2 years of your life. Like, what has been happening? And she just told me this story that was such a blessing to me that I was like, can you please pray about if the Lord wants you to say this on the podcast? And so I say all of that to say, here we are. Okay, so let's give some context. What was your relationship with Jesus, the church, the Bible before this whole season?
So I grew up going to church. I mean, it's Georgia. Mm-hmm. You black, you going to church. That's kind of, I don't know where everybody else, what they got going on, but that's kind of the thing. So I grew up going to church. But I would say, like, it was definitely like religion, and not religion in the sense of like, it permeated my entire life, mm-hmm. but more like ritual tradition. We knew to go to church. We knew to thank God. I played basketball. I dribbled the ball 3 times at the free throw line before I shoot it.
Okay.
Ritual. Fast forward, when I got to college, like, I met these people who were just on, like, I would say on fire for Jesus, but I thought it was crazy. I was like, no, I'm Christian. Mm-hmm. I'm good, but y'all seem like y'all got something I don't got, mm-hmm. and maybe I've missed the mark of what it means to be a Christian just by how, like, serious they seem. So, anyways, I became a believer. I thought I became a believer in college. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that now based on the last couple years of my life. Mm-hmm. I thought I became a believer in college, and I just, like, went around telling everybody about Jesus. I had a radio show. I wrote for the school newspaper. Everything was exciting for me about Jesus. I did a lot of talking at, though, for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when I graduated from college, I worked at different record labels, like different Christian labels with Christian artists, doing media stuff. I worked at churches, ministries. So, like, that's what it looked like on the outside for my life.
Yeah.
I'll say that part. I definitely am passionate. When I get into something, I get passionate about it. So I think there was a true passion for what I was into at the time, mm-hmm. which was Jesus. And I kind of spread that to people. Like, I had a Christian, I had a brand, mm-hmm. y'all was wearing it. I appreciate y'all.
I like the shirts.
And I just wanted to tell people what was important to me, which was God. Like, I don't know the depth of that for me the way I know it now. But I think at the time, I was definitely like, I think God's real. That's all I know. I think God's real. And I think everybody need to know that. Mm-hmm. So that was what my relationship was like with God. And
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
So what was happening? Sorry.
I feel like y'all, you know, she came at you worse than so. y'all can talk.
Really, this is a
what was the experience or the shift when you started to question the Jesus that you were serving? Like, what triggered that?
Right. So it didn't all happen at once, for sure. I didn't just wake up one morning and have, like, and just decide, like, forget all this and forget all these people, too. And, you know, I think there was, I thought about that. Like, I think I was actually already questioning underneath the surface, like, was I really content in Christ? Mm. I'm telling people to enjoy God, but do I feel like, this is God better than everything? I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Because I don't really know about every other thing. So like mentioning me growing up in church and all that, I guess I was kind of like a good girl on the surface, I would say. Like, not that I didn't have sin in my life, but I guess it wasn't stuff you could point out the way you could point out other people's stuff. That's, you know, that's what people go by. So, that was the path that I was on. And so I think my question to myself was like, is God really better? And this might sound weird, but I was listening to your book a couple years ago, and you were talking about, in some way or another, you were talking about having a girlfriend. And I remember feeling like, I've had secret relationships, but I've never just gotten to be.
To be like, gay.
To be queer. Well, queer is what I identified as, but like, I never just got to be queer. And there was even like a, I was like, I know that ain't the intention of this girl's book to make people jealous.
Hey, the truth.
Hey, it reaches where it reaches. Yeah. And for me, it was like, I'm, for the rest of my life, I'm gonna not embrace that. How do I really feel about that? Around that same time, different people that I was around, different conversations that I was hearing, I became aware of the concept of queer Christians or affirming churches. And it may sound crazy, but I really didn't know that it existed. And so I think it planted this seed in me of like, wait a minute, there's something that I've been like wrestling with all this time and feel like I've experienced some consequences for it within church or within ministry or whatever, but like there was a place for it that I didn't know that I could have probably went to. And so that could sound like, well, look, you're learning there's more out there, but it felt like I was in private school and I just went to public school. It was like like shocking. And rather than me saying, let me sort through all of it, it was like, wait a minute, all this is, everybody has made up their own perspective of the Bible. All these sides are like within Christianity. I just started feeling like people have just, they read this, this is what they get from it, and they take, and you know, they develop a movement towards that. And
so in saying that, do you mean that when you found out about queer Christianity, then it felt like, oh, there's these people who have developed a whole theology based on the same Bible that I was reading and submitting to? And so it's like, so all of y'all got different interpretations, and I'm just now getting wind of this. And so,
and also, did you feel cheated? Did you?
Interesting.
Yeah, because I would assume it's like,
forgive me for saying it now, God, but like, did I feel cheated at the time? I was like, yo, I could have been.
Yeah.
The things I have gone without and I could have been enjoying. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I can see that.
You're talking about cheated. And I was just, that's, you just gave me language. Yeah. I think that sparked something in me like, But rather than it being, let me go try out this kind of Christianity, it was almost like at the bottom of it, like, this can't be real. If something like this is so up for grabs, and it's been this, but we've known that I've heard that same sex relationships are not things that God supports my whole life. But like now this? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Yeah. Wow. Wait a minute. This whole thing.
It was a sham.
This whole thing was a sham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I feel like there is a unique temptation that comes to Christians that never had a ratchet season. You know?
That's what my auntie said.
Because for us, we weren't raised Christian.
Yeah.
And so we were ratchet.
Heathen.
And so all of the sin and the temptation, like we were able to, and I'm not saying able as in it was good or wise, but I'm saying we explored the like the halfway fullest depth of our depravity. And so then when we turned to Christ, we already knew what the world had to offer. So it was like, nah, I done tried that and I don't want it.
I know for a fact Jesus is better.
Yeah, but what I meet is like that people that grow up in church, that struggle just be different, because they like even cats that we know that are married who only had sex with one wife, they be in their mind like, but there's so many other women. There's all these things. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's so, it's such a demonic, it's such a demonic thing. Because that's what happened in the garden. It's like, yeah, you got this, but there's more. Yeah,
right. Because they never knew of any other thing.
I love that you just said that's what happened in the garden. One thing, like, and I may share something about this later, but like, my experience has made me look at the Bible completely different. It's like,
come on.
I'm like, people are debating how many days of was it a real animal talking? It's like, yo, that's the experience right there. I don't know if this is enough. I don't know if what God has put parameters around is actually sufficient. Like, I'm questioning that. Oh, that's what they were talking about in the garden. Not like, was it at like people getting into all all these
technical things, head really arguments.
It's like people out here trying to figure out if it's okay for them to go do what, like to wild out because they trying to find something to fill themselves while y'all arguing about how many days of creation was it really.
That's really good.
What were you gonna say?
Right. I was gonna say I want to be careful because I know this is your story, and I don't want to try to make it about us more than we have to. But I think the beautiful things about your story, it's not just about what God has done with you only, but also about how like God reconciles relationships that was broken because of what happened. You know what I'm saying? So you talk about like when you first started to find about queer churches and stuff like that. I can imagine that, you know, you being, you know, connected with Jackie and friends with Jackie, and she's being one of the leading voices in the Christian community about sexuality, right?
Woo, like, boiling. It was like a different kind of fire shut up in my bones.
Yeah, like.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Yeah, boil it in a way. And so like I think it's great to highlight that, you know, that type of that feeling that you felt against with her. And I think it's good for people to see that it's not necessarily personal when it's spiritual, you know, but also too, like, because you said some things, man. You was like, can I say it?
You can listen.
She made a
put
post.
Me in remembrance.
She made a post, a long post, and she was like, yeah, I'm gonna write a book called Petty Girl Good God. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Pause. Wait, that sounds
horrible
familiar.
Title anyway.
That sounds familiar. You know
clever.
What I'm saying? It was clever.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it I still run with
like,
it.
You know what I'm saying? I'm still a creative. You know what I'm saying? I ain't rocking with y'all, but I'm still a creative.
Oh, man.
So can you talk about
that
tension, you know, and even coming back to the Lord and having to, you talk about that, and like, what you felt.
And I want to add to it, to widen it a bit, which is you're discovering queer church, queer theology, all the things, but you also were really rooted pretty deeply in a local church, in a local community. Like your work was surrounded with Christians. Your life was full of Christians. So I guess also what was happening inside of you that made the people around you enemies.
What was happening inside me? You know, I told you this the other day. I was like, y'all are talking about something on your podcast, and it sounds like somebody in my life that I know. And I think there was this, like, I still cared what Christians thought of me. When I decided, like, this is all a sham, like, and left, there was still, like, this, like, and I would say, is that the Lord that could have been God keeping me sensitive to something about him. But it was a, like, the thing I don't think people maybe recognize, and maybe it's actually hard to have empathy or sympathy if you don't understand the process, but like, to leave your entire community on one end, and then you zoom out and you say, yeah, and then you left your entire faith. Like, if and for me, I thought I was really like even if I was even if I was far in the back, I was walking behind Jesus, I thought.
Yeah.
So to go another route, where do I go?
Yeah.
Those were my words for life. Yeah. Like, I didn't know where to go. That's traumatic. And so there's tons of emotions that come up. You feel lonely, you feel angry. And I think hearing you stood as like, for me, it was like, like it, and I heard y'all say this on your podcast before, it felt personal. Like, it's hard for people to like separate sexuality from identity.
Right.
So for me, it felt like I was mad at the idea that God was not okay with me being who I was. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so important to me. And the fact that you were saying that you were standing in that with God, it's like, anybody on God's side right now, anybody on God's side, period. Like, I found in my journal, I wrote in my journal one time, like, F God. Like, like, literally, I mean, I didn't just put the F.
Yeah. You spelled it out.
I spelled it out.
Yeah.
But that's not this kind of show. So I was so mad. And you, even as you guys talked about, I remember y'all talked about Sage and all the, y'all were talking about different things. And I was like, man, people are just trying to figure out how to make sense of life because God doesn't want us as we are. Wow. Or God is like, this is all, like, I just was angry. I don't even think it makes sense.
Yeah.
There's no sense to make of when you're trying to make sense of life and nothing around you. Like, I live with my sister still now, and she's a believer, and I basically kind of, she would say I discipled her into the faith. So like, the tension there at home, there's nowhere. And I think that's just a sidebar to like how I feel like I got to where I got to, because there may be, I could tell you this, I was Googling like crazy, like Center for Relief. Deacon, where can I go to deconstruct and not have to worry about paying my bills right now?
Yeah.
Other people have typed that kind of stuff in too. Yeah. Like, Google history is a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, but it's like, where do you go?
Yeah.
Even people that mean well, or you just feel like a Christian won't be safe. That's important.
Was that your experience with John? That when you because you did,
I went to my pastor. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, John, my pastor, was one of my best friends at the time. Still is now. Like, because I had to come back to him too. I had a lot of coming back to do. But yeah, he and I like sat down and we were going to work through a book together, but I was so sensitive to like, I actually felt like, I don't know what to believe anymore from anyone.
Yeah.
Like, what if I had been brainwashed my whole life? Mm-hmm. Like, cause people, now that's another thing I realized, people feel like Christians are like, y'all, you realize y'all are like robots, you're brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then later on in life, I mean, now I realize like, yeah, my mind is being renewed consistently.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. That is what's happening to me. But like at the time, there was kind of like this, I think there was this part of me that felt like, and somebody has said this to me before, like, how can you be smart and think real deep questions about life and still be a Christian? That's so old. That's so outdated. And you're a woman and you're Black.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
It seemed foolish.
And it seemed foolish. And I don't know if it's just Atlanta or other parts of the world like this, but there's so much here that you can turn to, or people have different beliefs and all types of things. And it's like, it just made me feel like I have no idea what's real. And so I think I was mad. I was angry. And I think I just... I think it was just kind of black. I blacked out and just went off on whoever.
I got a two-part question, because I think for the people who are listening, I think it would be good for you to kind of let them know, like, what when you left, like how, like what all did you like kind of dibble and dabble in, like, okay. like, you know, but also what was that defining moment that kind of like led you back to Jesus? Because you talk about, mm-hmm. you talk about like, you know, how the world tries to convince you that Christians just do a good job of brainwashing people. But when I hear your testimony, I don't see that. I see God himself. Hmm. You know, and that's the powerful thing about the Christian faith. It's not what we know and what people can convince us. It's an experience with the holy and a living God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that that's what you experience. And so can you talk about that process of, like, what did you end up like leaving the faith and feeling like, oh, I can be a quick Christian. And then what did you end up mm-hmm. going into?
Okay.
You know, and then how the Lord brought you back.
So, I feel like, I don't know who said it, but do what thou wilt.
Yeah, that was Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
Church of Satanism.
Dang, I just knew Jay-Z had it on the sweatshirt. I don't know what that's supposed to be.
No, it's satanic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's see, now it all makes sense. Wish I wouldn't have went off on you and just text you. No, maybe you could have helped me. Could have avoided all this.
It's a process.
So I think at some point, like, that became, I live by things, man. Like, I sometimes change my bio on Instagram just because this is what I'm living by right mm-hmm. now, and I need that to be known. If I had a saying, do what thou wilt was it for me. It was like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do because why not? What if... Why not? Like, mm-hmm. that's just like, and I think that is what that sounds good. Like, do what feels good to you.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like helpful for people. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. So that meant drugs. I had a girlfriend, like, and finally, I would say that's how I felt the word finally for the past. Mm-hmm. I'm still working through it. But at the time, I felt like, finally, I don't have to hide this about myself. Like, I just get to be. Like, I think I felt like I'm just being. And I think things, I was looking earlier, like, what was I doing this time last year? I was launching my collection for, like, my clothing brand. And I was excited about it and things went well. But I looked at a picture from the same time frame. And I was Googling, like, self-esteem. Mm-hmm. How do I know if my self-esteem is low? Like, mm-hmm. I was, there were things going on that felt good. So that's another thing that I didn't know, mm-hmm. that bad things felt good.
Oh, wow. Why didn't you know it? Because of the church girl thing?
Because of the church girl thing. And I think there's just like, sometimes when people talk about sin, it makes it sound like there's no pleasure that you can even experience in it.
Yeah.
Like that,
yeah.
It, going back to the garden, like, yeah. It does look like this.
Yeah.
It is good for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the deceit. Like, it's actually whether or not I trust that this is best. Like,
wow.
What God is telling
me. Come on here.
You better preach to us.
No, go on.
So, like, I think things felt good for a while, and then... Like I said, around the same time last year, my self-esteem was still low. Even though people were applauding me mm-hmm. for different things that I was doing in fashion and whatever, I couldn't make sense. Like, I would say I didn't have peace. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how to define it. It's, I think you know it when you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... at that time, like, I was taking antidepressants, I was smoking weed, I was trying other drugs, like, I was all types of things. And this is not a defense of people doing drugs, but I wonder if people actually thought about, why are people doing drugs? Mm-hmm. Why are people doing whatever they're doing?
Yeah.
And not just like, all these potheads, these whatever. It's like, people are... Not to mention it was 2020, a pandemic. What is life?
That's true.
Right.
Then as a black person, watching black people get killed on the streets by cops and people pretending to be cops.
Yeah.
Here in Georgia, like, that, there's no excuse for sin, but there is a recognition of, like, people, there's things that can feel so heavy. Mm-hmm. You don't know where to go. And I wasn't trusting God because I didn't feel like I could show up as myself to God. Like, yeah. My mom was texting me, like, God still loves you. God still loves you. I'm like, God don't love me as I am.
Say what your mama said about.
And then she would text me later on and be like, you're not worried about hell no more? Like, and even, I love my mom. And I think that's another thing that, like, for I recognize people, and that's something to people who are currently thinking through their faith or deconstructing, like the people around you, like even if you don't believe in God, you there's something about giving people grace because you're looking for grace right now. Mm-hmm. That says like they don't you've changed, they haven't. Yeah. They don't know what to do with you right now. They don't know what not to say. I was living with my sister, she felt like it was eggshells at one point. Like, yeah. She didn't know what she could say, what she couldn't say.
Yeah.
So everybody needs to breathe. And needs that grace. And so, but anyways, I was trying to calm my mind. My mind was going crazy. Mm-hmm. My mental health was horrible. Like, I'd been diagnosed with like a mood disorder, mm-hmm. like all types of things. And some people would say later on, like, I don't know if you really had a mood disorder. Were you just under attack? Was this spiritual warfare? It's like, I'm still going to take my medicine.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. And pray. I'm going to do both. Pills and prayer for me. Yeah. You know?
I like that. New shirt.
I'm looking everywhere to find peace. Even in the relationship I was in, I was trying new types of and it was a relationship with a woman. But like nothing. I even couldn't trust her. It was just like nothing. I didn't have peace of mind, and it had become normal for me to feel like, I just hope I don't wake up tomorrow, because mm-hmm. I can't make sense of life, and I don't really know where to go. Like, I just hope I don't wake up tomorrow. And then one day, that feeling became so heavy that it was like, I got to do something about not waking up. Mm-hmm. And I remember knowing that I had like pills at home, and I was at home by myself. My sister was at work, and I was like, it felt like in my, like rushing in my brain were just thoughts like, it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. You're never going to find peace. You're never going to find peace in who you are. Even if you try to embrace your queerness, you're not going to find peace there. But like, that's all. It was like an attack. Mm-hmm. It literally did feel like an attack. And so I got in my car and I'm like, I'm gonna drive. I gotta get out of here. I tried calling people. Mm-hmm. Nobody answered the phone. Mm-hmm. No one answered the phone. And I got back home and I was like, all right, I'm going inside. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what would have happened. Because in that moment, I felt like it was my end. Like, I had literally gone to the end of myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, at that moment, I said, I had not prayed and I hadn't called, I hadn't used the word God in probably 2 to 3 years. Wow. Because it felt so, I was like, that's a Christian. That belongs to Christianity. Mm-hmm. Even in my going away from God, it wasn't, maybe there's another God. It's like, I don't want anything to do with that one, even if that is the one. Yeah. But the other ones don't really make sense.
Yeah.
Just keeping it real. Yeah, yeah. But in that moment, getting to the end of myself, crying my eyes out, I said, God, help me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got that out of my mouth, a friend called. And she said, Caress, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay.
Wow.
And she's a believer. Her name's Bucci. I don't know how she managed to maintain friendship with me being as solid as a believer as she was, but also listening to me talk about relationship struggles with a woman, mm-hmm. listening to me talk about doing, like, her prayer, what that did for her prayer life, no telling.
Yeah. Wow.
You're welcome, Bucci. No. But she talked to me, and I just let everything come up.
Wow.
Everything that I felt, I just started saying it. Everything I felt towards God, I said it out loud. And there was so much anger and hurt there. And my sister eventually came home. I was on the floor crying. She asked me, she said, "Do you want to surrender?"
Wow.
And I was like, it's almost like, I don't know what else to do. Yeah. And well, you here?
I tried it all.
I've tried it from my perspective. I mean, some people might say, nah, there's some other, I think people may feel like,
this ain't making you me gotta, emotional. It's making me emotional.
You cry.
I'm a G.
Who gives a black man permission to feel?
I think people might say, like, there's this place you have to break through and you can finally let go of all that, what you think you have to do. Like, God, it's almost like this idea of, like, God, I thought the trauma was coming from, I thought I was experiencing trauma from God. Like, no, God, you've hurt me so much. When in reality, and on this side of things, I feel like I was experiencing what it felt like to say, I want to live life without God. Mm-hmm. That was like, I don't want to live. Mm-hmm. I literally do not know. Wow. I cannot make sense of it. And I said, yes, I want to surrender. My sister prayed for me. And I take these walks on this trail. And like a couple days later, I took a walk on a trail and I just started like telling God more of everything that I had been feeling. And I got quiet on the way back. And it was like, I hadn't picked up the Bible in 2-3 years either. Mm-hmm. Of course not. Yeah. I wasn't talking to God. I wasn't going to try to read all those words. But it's like scripture just started popping in my head. God was just reminding me of things. And it was just like, take your time. I'm here with you. I'm walking with you. And it's like the light bulb went off. Like, wait a minute. I cried out to God a couple days ago and he heard my cry. Tell me nothing.
Yeah.
Like God is listening to me.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say, I don't know as I saved before is because huge. When I saw, what's your little one's name that was going around hugging
Autumn.
Everybody
Autumn.
Saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
I'm with her.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
This is the gospel, like God loving us, the creator of the universe, taking time out. People who got 600 followers sometimes can't even, they don't have time to respond to you. They actually don't have time. Mm-hmm. God is somehow managing an entire planet, but listening to me who said F you last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm for real, y'all.
I'm over here.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's beautiful.
And so for me, it was like real. Like, oh shoot, oh snap. What do I do now? This God loves me.
Yeah,
He wants me to live, even if I don't want to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's that type of love. Almost sounds obsessive.
Yeah,
it's crazy love, and I'm like, okay, you really love me, so. Initially what rushed through my mind was like, oh snap though. Now what can I do no more though?
You gotta take up my cross.
Oh snap. And it was like, and even my, how I felt about God was one way, but I was like, now what about Jesus though? And I separated them. I'm not saying they are, but I separated them because you can get by, especially now, with just talking about God, because people will call God by different names, or universe, spirit, creator, great creator, all these things can still just go under the umbrella of God, and people don't know for sure what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But when people start saying Jesus, then it's like, uh-oh.
We're getting specific
one way.
Yeah.
That's exclusive. That's outdated. That's just not.
Jesus forces us to choose and to have a stand, you know.
And that
I heard a preacher say, the world will hypocritically applaud any man who claims he is a seeker of truth, but they will call for a public execution for a man who claims he has found it. And so I think in one way, like, you know, we can say God and people can celebrate you. Oh, you on your quest for spirituality. But once you say Jesus, it's like, how you know Jesus is the way?
Like,
it's like they respect you when you're on this quest.
Yeah.
But once you say you found something, once you landed somewhere, it's like, how you know your way is the way? Everybody becomes skeptics. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. You know, like, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the world is not going to respect when you land on him. Mm.
That, it's like, even things that I've read before, which I, sometimes we can have disciplines, or I had certain disciplines that I was reading the Bible or reading certain books. And in retrospect, I was like, man, I was just getting a lot of head knowledge, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't know if I love God with my heart and if I knew how to love my neighbor. Mm-hmm. However, now I'm living certain things and those words are coming back to me. I think that's wow. just the, that's how God works. Yeah. Like, you want to remember everything you read in a book the next day and yeah. be able to regurgitate it. But it's like maybe 10 years later, that one line hits you.
Yeah.
And C.S. Lewis's line about like meeting Jesus and him either being, if you're going to be confronted by the real Jesus, you're going to walk away saying he's either a liar, he's Lord, or he's a lunatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just say he's a good man. You don't have that option.
Yeah.
That finally hit me. Like,
he forces you
I started, choose. I was like, I don't know if this is legit. Let me read some outside sources about Jesus. And I started looking up stuff on YouTube. Like, I know I'm a scholar. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could tell you what the archaeologists have said about this and that. And I was like, oh, snap. They're saying Jesus really walked the planet. Mm. This was real. They can't really validate the faith stuff because that's not their realm. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's too much around this. Mm. Something happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, and that's that I get excited because I'm, the Bible feels fresh to me right now. It yeah. feels like the story of Jesus is not some outdated story. Mm-hmm. It's like this should be viral.
Yeah.
When, yeah.
What you told me how, because I think I asked you something about how have the people that, you know, you were doing life with, how have they responded to the shift? Because I've heard it phrased as, you know, in one sense, it's kind of like coming out of the closet again. And so it's like, sometimes people have to come out of the closet as gay or queer, but then you have to come out of the closet as Christian, right? And so it's like, you told me a conversation with somebody where they brought up the subject of denial.
Yeah. Someone who I would say, I know they care about me deeply, and in their mind, because they don't follow Jesus, this doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Specifically, my sexual desires, why would I deny them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, like, their words were like, that sounds like denial. And it's like, I was like, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's me denying myself to follow Christ because Christ has the way to life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I realized that takes a humility that I don't think, like, that's just not popular.
Mm-hmm.
To be a sheep, mm-hmm. to say I'm a sheep.
Not only is it not popular, but it's not possible apart from the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
It's something that the Holy Spirit has to do. And I love the fact that you talked about before, when you was a Christian, you knew all of these things. But once you saw God actively involved in your life, mm-hmm. it transformed your heart in a way.
Right. Yeah.
That's what the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that separates Christianity from other religions.
Mm-hmm.
That's all head knowledge. That's all law driven, right? These rules, right? But Christianity is not just rules and not just laws. It's those things, but it's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And once you had an experience with the Holy Spirit, like, it changed you, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And so it's just not, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, I think for me, being an evangelist, talking to people, it's like, it's not, I want to reach them, but I'm not beating them. I try my best not to beat people over the head with scripture, because I realize that I'm talking to somebody who doesn't have the nature that I have.
Literally.
And so you can empathize. This is how the Bible says you were once them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. so, like, for you to have that experience, to know all these things about God, and then deconstruct your faith, and then go down this road, and it's like, then be at your wit's end. It's like, I don't know what to do other than call on God, where he wanted you.
Literally.
That's literally where he wanted you.
Yeah.
And he came down. He was like, I'm going to allow this woman to experience me.
Yeah.
And so that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, that Jesus condescended and he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. And so that's so beautiful.
I'm just so, I think I was encouraged. I was encouraged by your story for many reasons. But one is that, like, I think from the outside looking in, like when we see people just kind of doing their thing, it can feel disheartening, discouraging, perplexing, all the things. And even with our situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, I reached out and all the stuff, but I pulled back, right, out of pain. But it's like the Lord never did.
Mm-hmm.
He's
so not like us.
He was the one who was primarily offended, but he still stayed. Like, the whole time, the Lord was still with you. And so I think that's what I'm grateful for, is that God is not like us. Mm-hmm. Like, when he is offended, when he is denied, when he is not listened to, when he is not honored, when he is not believed, he still loves.
Yeah.
He still pursues. He still seeks. He still shows up. And he had a saint who was ready and available to be there with you when the time came for it. Mm-hmm. And the glory be to God, she was the one person you kept around. We thank God. Like, yeah, because she didn't have to be. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Like, so, like, that's a grace and a mercy that there was still somebody, like, listening to the, like, had an ear for God to respond to you.
I'm thankful for all the people, because there were a couple people who, like, another friend that's just like, I can tell you think that you probably can't talk to me right now, but you can.
Yeah,
like, just sends out a message saying that, but she was in tune to me.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that was so helpful was when I did run to a friend, her husband's house, and I asked her husband Dan, I was like, but what are you gonna think about my orientation? Mm-hmm. What do you think about my orientation? Like, I had that word in my head, probably from some article I read.
Yeah.
And he was like, what's your orientation to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep focusing on that.
Mm.
And let's start there, because you can start with trying to figure out what I got to do. I got to fix some stuff. I'm going to have to let go of that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, I'm holding on to something. I don't have any, my hands are full right now, because mm-hmm. I'm holding on to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The other things are going to fall by. They're going to fall by my side, because I'm holding on to Jesus. But, like, I got to get there first.
Yeah.
Mm.
And definitely so thankful for all the people that prayed through, had to figure out, how do you love someone if they're, I love you and I want you to know that I care about you, but I love God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that God knows best for your life too. So I'm not going to tell you that I'm giving you my blessing in what you're doing right now.
Right.
I'm gonna try to figure out how to be here for you though. I'm trying to figure that out. And I thank them, but I like, it's like the person asked me about denying myself, or you're not gonna do this, you're not gonna do that. And I'm like, I got a good thing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I ain't married, but I got a good thing at home with God.
Yeah.
Like, this love, sending all these people, having somebody in, it's all God. I see God through it all. So
that's good, man.
Yeah.
Before we close, I just want you to, like, highlight the situation where you went on a trip with your mama and you said she was sleeping. But I felt like people could resonate with what you observed.
Yeah. My mom, we went on a trip a couple months ago. We used to go on a lot of trips together, but the past couple years, I ain't want to go nowhere with them, with my family. And my mom was having such a good time on the trip. It was just my dad, my mom, and me. My sister didn't come with us this time. But anyways, she was having such a good time. And then we got on the plane, and it was like 2 seconds. You look over, my mom is knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, we just got on this plane. Why is she so tired? And it's like, it hit me. She hasn't slept in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. She did not sleep. Like, my mom was so worried about me.
Wow.
So praying in her prayer closet. You ask her, how you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm not doing too well. And she always tried to come up with another reason, but it's really because my daughter is lost and it's breaking my heart.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was like, and she said to me, which I hope I hope she means it. I've given her the best gift she can have for the rest of her life. So hopefully I'm off the hook for the rest of her life. Yeah. But yeah, that's like so she wasn't sleeping.
Amen.
Yeah,
before we end, I just want to say this. Last night, the last couple of days, I've been in prayer about some really serious stuff. And the other night, I felt the need to pray this prayer. While I was in prayer, I started to pray just randomly, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Don't hide your face from me. And I was like, why am I praying this? Like, what is this about? And so last night I was like, I'm going to literally study what this means. And I found a blog of a guy who wrote about it. And he basically described it as like sometimes when we feel like God, basically God hiding his face from us is either judgment or chastisement, right? But like a lot of times when we feel like God is hiding his face from us, we think it's because, you know, he's mad at us because of something that we've done. But it's really like our sin is what separates from him. And he gave this analogy of sometimes like we a man who's on a lake on a boat. And he said, if you fall asleep by the shoreline and then you wake up or whatever, and then you realize that you're far away from this shoreline, you can almost think that like what created this distance. And he said, well, sin creates this distance, but the good thing about God is that in his timing, when he loves you, he's the one who draws you near to him. Mm-hmm. And I've had those moments in life where I'm like, God, like, what did I do? Like, why am I far away from you? Like, why do I feel so hopeless? And so, like, you know, what created this distance? And even though my sin is what created it, his goodness is the one who kind of pulls me back to the shoreline, because he's consistent. He's stable.
Yeah.
He's that shoreline. Like, he doesn't move.
Yeah.
He doesn't move away from us. He's consistent. We move away from him.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
even in his goodness, mm-hmm. he draws us back. Yeah. And so I thank God that when I hear your story, I hear that you had some type of knowledge of who this God was, and you felt hopeless at times. And it was just like, no, like, I've always been here, Caress.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've drifted away, and you can't see my face. This mm-hmm. is not a physical see my face, because God is a spirit, but you don't feel my presence
mm-hmm.
because you drifted away. But I'm gonna bring you to your wits' end mm-hmm. to draw you back to that shoreline, mm-hmm. to draw you back to me. And I just hear the goodness of God and allowing you to experience him in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
That's just dope.
His kindness leads us to repentance.
So
every time. All right.
Peace.
Bye.
30 Minutes with the Perrys is a production of Ivy Media Podcast. Edited by Angie Elkins. Video recording and audio production by Kim Powell. Artwork by Hop and music by Swoop. Join us on Patreon for early access to With the Perrys episodes and other exclusives. You got two options. You can go to www.patreon.com/withtheperrys, or just go ahead, scroll. You'll find the link in our show notes. We are the Perrys. Thank y'all for listening. Now go with God.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.